On Pentecost Sunday, we're wrapping up our series. And today we're talking about, then I will heal their land. How many believe our land needs healing? Our land needs healing. And the good news is that we're a big part of what God wants to do in pouring out his healing on our land. And this recipe that comes out of 2 Chronicles 7:14 really is a recipe for revival. It's a recipe for God coming into our hearts and coming into our lives and filling us and using us to accomplish his purposes. And let me tell you something. There's nothing more life-giving than accomplishing the purpose for which you were created. And so I'd like you to stand with me, please. And we're going to read what the text is on the screen. Let's stand as we read together from the Word of God. As I mentioned, at the conclusion of our service today, we're going to be having an anointing line for healing in different venues, and I'll talk about that as we close into the service, but I want you to prepare for that, and I want you to allow faith to rise up in your heart. Let's say this together, please. Then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore their land. Father, I want to thank you today that you've called upon us as the people of God to do this. This is Jesus why you came. This is Jesus why you died. This is Jesus why you rose again, so that we might know fullness of life. And Father, I do pray today that as we conclude on this Pentecost Sunday, that you will refresh our hearts with everything that you've purposed for us through Christ Jesus, our Savior and our Lord. And the church said together, amen. Please be seated, and you can follow along with your insert, please, on the page. So how is healing going to come to the nation? How is healing going to come to our land? How is God going to move, and how is our place going to be affected for goodness in the name of God? Well, I want to talk about three ways that is going to and is taking place. It happens, first of all, when we understand that we are a people of God's promises. Someone showed me a picture the other day on their cell phone, and it was actually a picture of the church and the Heritage Tower, and it was a picture of a rainbow. I wish I would have had that picture for the slide presentation, but it was a rainbow that went from east to west. It was one of those full-colored, beautiful rainbows, and as I saw it going over this property once again, I was reminded of that night when I was standing with a couple of our missionaries from Germany at about 2 in the morning, and we'd been sharing and praying together it was a Saturday night, but then into a Sunday morning in my office, and we went out and we prayed for them. And as we prayed, there was literally the dancing like I've never seen it of the Northern Lights right on the perimeter of our building, like it was right there. And I know it was a sign for that missionary, but also for us as we go forward in the things that God has for us. We are a people of God's promises. Now, of course, in the Old Covenant, the promises of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, they belong to the Jewish people because they were the people that God, the apple of God's eye, the favored people of God. But when Christ came, he fulfilled the law. And if we're going to understand how that God is going to heal our land, we need to understand, first of all, that we are a people of God's promises. And so we read this in Galatians 3, there's no longer Jew or Gentile. I mean, this was mind-boggling to the Jewish mind, because through the whole Old Covenant, it was the Jews who were the promised people of God. It was the Jews that received the blessing of God. But when Christ fulfilled the law, now, I mean, this was just something they couldn't get over, that there's no difference between Jew or Gentile, slave or free. It doesn't matter your economic status. It's not as though, you know, even in the Old Covenant, the Jewish people, a mark of obedience and a mark of being favored of God was prosperity. But in the New Testament, as Jesus has fulfilled the law, God will promise that he's meeting our needs. It's not like if we're more faithful to God that we'll be rich. It says, if your riches increase, don't set your heart on them. So it's not based upon whether we're slave or free. It's not based upon our economic condition. It's not based upon male or female. And even in the even in the days that Jesus was here, you know, ladies, they didn't speak in church. They wore head coverings. Those were cultural things. I mean, they weren't involved. They would ask their husbands when they got home about something. But it's not about male and female. But you are all one in Christ Jesus. And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs, and God's promises to Abraham belongs to you. So if we're going to know how healing comes to our land today, we need to understand, first of all, that we are a people of God's promises. And so how are we going to believe those promises? We want to believe God for healing in our homes. We want to believe God that just within our own homes that there would be healing, that through his preaching that he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers. Otherwise, I will come and strike the land with a curse. We want to pray that within the very confines of our own homes that fathers will have their hearts turned to their sons, that sons will have their hearts turned to their fathers. We want to pray that mothers will have their hearts turned to their daughters and daughters will have their hearts turned to their mothers. We want to pray that there will be this health in the homes of God's people. We want to believe God for healing in our homes. We also are to believe God further for household salvation. The Philippian jailer, when he saw that God was alive and that God was at work, and when Paul cried out, "We're all still here," he said, what do I need to do to be saved? And here's the response. They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved along with everyone." Would you please say everyone? And circle that in your notes, please, everyone. And I want to encourage you, if you have the privilege of being a parent, and let's imagine that you have the privilege of being a parent, but you only have one child, one daughter. I want to encourage you, make the circle bigger than your one daughter. Like, don't just, when you're talking about household salvation, don't just draw that circle around your one daughter. I want you to include your nieces and your cousins, and include your first and second and third, even the cousins that come around the fourth corner, like include them as you pray for and use believe God for household salvation. Pray for your in-laws, and please especially pray if you have any outlaws. Believe God for household salvation. I'll tell you, in families, the reality is there's many families that they're living life like this. I'm not calling her until she phones me. If the phone rings, fine, but if it doesn't, mean three strikes, they're out. And I'll tell you, folks, that's no way for families to exist. If you believe me, say amen. And so we're wanting to believe God for household salvation. How many of you that know Jesus, somebody prayed for you? Let me see your hand. And so I want to encourage you, pray for those. Draw a big circle around your family. Draw a big circle around those that come into that family context and believe God for household salvation. I remember the words of Joshua, "As for me and my household, we will serve the..." Now, here's what's true, friends. We know that God is not willing for anybody to perish. Have we heard that from the Word of God? God's not willing for anybody to perish. But God doesn't force people to serve him. Even though, like, we're talking heaven and hell, we're talking spiritual life and spiritual death. God doesn't force, people have a choice. And it's the same thing in our families. And so if you have a daughter or a son, if you have those that are close to you in your families and they're not serving the Lord, don't let the enemy trip you up with guilt. Just believe the Lord that you raised them, you nurtured them in the things of God. And when they grow older, God will draw them back to repentance. Amen? If there are people that maybe were in the church and were serving the Lord, and now you would say they're backsliders, they want nothing to do with the church because the church is just full of, that's right, church is just full of hypocrites. Well, welcome to the club. Like, none of us are perfect, friends. We're all in a process. We're all growing, hopefully, to become more like Jesus. But if there are backsliders, if there are those who want nothing to do with the church, any, draw that circle of prayer around them. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. So we're to believe God for healing in our homes, for household salvation. And we're to believe God for hope in our nation. Now, David Maines is one who went on to receive his reward. To those of you that have been in the church family, I want you to know that 2 o'clock this morning, the Lord Jesus called Irene Schramm home. And she's in her home. She's finished her race. And so... just church family, so that you're aware of that. Funeral will be on the 17th of June. But David Maines is one that I remember. How many of you remember David Maines, the founder and host for so many years of 100 Huntley Street, when he did Salute to Canada? Does anybody remember Salute to Canada? He went from one side of our nation to the other side of our nation, and we are to believe God for hope in our nation. May he reign from sea to sea and from the Euphrates River to the ends of the earth, or he will have dominion. May God have dominion from sea to sea and from the rivers to the ends of the earth. You know, when you think about Canada, Canada is a place that has the ocean on both sides of our countries. And in the Parliament buildings, actually on Parliament Hill, there are places in our Parliament legislature where this scripture is inscribed in our national Parliament on the buildings there. And there's different scriptures, and may he have dominion from sea to sea and from the rivers. Canada's not only a land of oceans, but Canada is a land of rivers. And you know what Jesus said about rivers? He said, let anybody that's thirsty come to me and drink. This is good for Pentecost Sunday. This is good for the things that we're going to be praying for at the conclusion of this message. And out of their innermost being will flow rivers of everlasting life. And so as you think of Canada, we have to believe God for hope in our nation from sea to sea, from the rivers. And thank God Canada has a job to do to the very ends of the earth until Jesus comes. If we're going to know that God's going to heal our land, we also need to receive heaven's blessings in all situations. The scripture says, for all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes. And through Christ our amen, which means yes, ascends to God for his glory. Now, it's as if you see a ballot here. You're supposed to fill out one thing on a ballot, but there's two things here, the yes and the amen. And so I'd like you to say yes and amen with me. Are you ready? Yes and amen. All of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes. And through Christ our amen, which means yes, ascends to the glory of God. And so we're a people. How does healing come to our land? We're a people who understand that we are children of the promise. You are a child of the promises of God. And we're going to pray for these things at the conclusion of the service today. How does healing come to our land? Secondly, we are a people who pray for those over us. Paul writes to his young preaching protege, Timothy, and says, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them and intercede on their behalf and give thanks for them. Now, I'm going to slip something in here. I want to say thank you for praying for your pastors. Thank you for praying for your board members. Thank you for praying for us as we endeavor to do the will of God. I want to say it very boldly. We need your prayers. We covet your prayers. But this also goes on and it says, pray this way for kings and all who are in authority so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by all godliness and dignity. Now, in this first of all admonition, besides prayer, it says, give thanks for them. You know what, folks? We are blessed to live in the nation of Canada. We are very blessed to be in this place. We have the freedom of assembly. We can worship Jesus wherever we want. We can read this word, the Bible, and we can distribute God's holy word. Do you know there's some places where people on this earth can't even have a Bible? We have so many things within the nation that we can thank God for spiritually. Give thanks for them. And so as you think about the kings and those who are in authority over us, how do we do that? Well, first of all, we support those who govern our land. There was somebody that was trying to trap Jesus, and so they gathered him with a question and a coin. And they said, who should we pay taxes to? Like, should we give to God or should we give to Caesar? And Jesus said, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and give to God what belongs to God. Now, here's a couple of political leaders here. I want you to know something. My hope is not based on whoever the mayor of our city is, but I want you to know, too, that I was at the mayor's prayer breakfast with Don Iverson. I was there with many other Christians praying for our mayor, but that's not where my hope is. In fact, my hope is not even in Jason Kenney. Now here's one of the leaders of one of our provincial political parties. My hope is not in Jason Kenney or any particular party. In fact, my hope is not in Justin Trudeau. I don't look towards our national leader, and my hope is not placed in our national leader. Do you know where my hope is placed? My hope is placed in you. My hope is placed in you because you are the church. My hope is placed in you because you are the body of Christ. My hope is placed in you because you are the ones that God has called to make a difference in healing our land. And so, when it comes to supporting those that are in government, it's very important that we support them. I talked about some of the spiritual freedoms that we have, but can I talk about some of the very practical things that we have? How many of you are glad in Canada that we have a health system? How many of you appreciate the fact in Canada that when you get up and do your number, that you flush it and it goes away? I didn't see enough amens. Come on. How many of you are thankful that when you go to the tap, you actually can turn it on and not only wash stuff with it, but you can drink that water? I'll tell you something, folks. We are blessed in this nation. And we need to be people who support those who govern our land. Also, we submit to those who govern our land. We submit to those who govern our land. Everyone, would you please say everyone? Everyone must submit to the governing authorities, for all authority comes from God, and those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. So anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and they will be punished. Now, because we're just in an intimate moment here, and it's just me and you, and you know, nobody's going to tell anybody anything, I'm going to tell you just a little secret about your pastor. Because your pastor has been punished by the authority. But it's okay, because it's just me and you talking. I know it will go no further than this. But can you tell me, what's the speed limit in a residential zone in Edmonton? What is it? Is it 50? It is 50? Oh, I heard 40. Is it 40? It's like an auction. Is it 30 from 6 a.m. until 10 at night in certain areas? And you know, you would think that they would have police cars. But no, in Edmonton, we don't have police cars. We have trucks like this. They just look like Alberta pickup trucks. They got machines on them. And you cruise through that 30 kilometer an hour zone. And you go to your mailbox. And I want you to know, your pastor has been touched by the authorities. In fact, I'd like you to know that they set that puppy 10 kilometers over the speed limit. And I want you to know that if you're going 10 kilometers over the speed limit and you pass this truck, it's going to cost you $110. I'm being a little facetious, right? But we submit to, nobody likes submitting. Don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me how fast to go. Don't tell me how to run my life. But I'm thankful, friends, for the laws that govern our great nation of Canada. And I'm thankful for the first responders. And so we submit to those who govern our land. Now, I understand, friends, that there's different opinions about government. You know, there's some Christians that think the government is so wicked, it's so evil, we're going to have nothing to do with the government. We just step back. And, you know, it's going to hell anyway, so we're just going to have nothing to do with it. We're going to cloister. There's others that, you know, that they want to change everything. They want to change everything in government. Well, this law is not right. It's not biblical, and we want all of our laws to be biblical. Listen, I want to pray that God will season our land like heaven, but that's not going to happen until we get to heaven, friends. There's things in our laws. I mean, when Daniel was serving in Babylon, do you think there was anything there that might not have been good? When Jesus was asked about should we give to God or give to Caesar, do you think Caesar was a guy that was supporting Jesus? I mean, he was setting himself up as God. And so there's some Christians that we even rebel against the government, but no. We just are called to submit to those who govern our land. How do we do that? How do we bring healing to our nation? We are to shine as lights in the darkness. You know, I once heard a pastor friend of mine, Bruce Martin, who pastors in Winnipeg, say this. If you see something wrong in society, don't curse the darkness without lighting a candle. Don't just say this is wrong unless you've got a solution. Like, if you've got a solution and if you want to serve somewhere, we are to shine as lights in dark places. Remind the believers to submit to the government and its officers, to do what is good and obedient, always ready to do what is good. They must not slander anyone. Hey, check this out. They must not slander anyone. You know what, Christian? Listen to me. It's so simple to slander politicians. It's so simple to slander those who are in leadership. It's so simple to slander those who are in government offices. But when we do that as Christians, do you know what we look like? We look like non-Christians. We don't shine at all. We just blend in with those who don't even know the goodness of God. They must not slander. I mean, this isn't my book. I'm reading the Bible here. They must not slander anyone and must avoid quarreling. Instead, they should be gentle and show true humility to everyone. If you believe that, say amen or ouch. But I'll tell you something. If you choose to live like that, you're going to shine like light in the darkness. So we're a people who understand that we are children of the promise. We're a people who pray for those over us. And most importantly, we are a people who proclaim the gospel. And when I think about the proclamation of the gospel, I think it unfolds in different ways in our lives. I think primarily it unfolds through you. I said, my hope is in you. My hope is in you because Christ is in you, and Christ is the hope of glory. And I want to tell you something about your story, Christian. Nobody has your story. Nobody has your life story. Nobody can tell of the marvels that Jesus Christ has brought into your heart and brought into your life. So instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if somebody asks about your Christian hope, always be ready to explain it. Always be looking for that time and that place and that moment where you can tell somebody the difference that Jesus Christ has made for you. How can we be good proclaimers of the gospel? Well, first of all, and this carries on a little bit from my last point, by living our lives without complaint. I remember my dad, as he was living his last days, you know what was a word that he continually said to my mom? Honey, we have nothing to complain about. And I heard my dad complain almost never. And as I watched him in those last years deal with cancer and cancer original, you know, be the sickness, if you will, that caused him to go home to Jesus. As I watched him deal with that, I just watched him and admired how he carried that. By living our lives without complaint, do everything. There's that little word again. Would you please say everything? I mean, if it said most things, I'd be doing good. But do everything without complaining and arguing so that no one can criticize you. Can I give you permission to do something to me as your pastor? If you ever hear me complaining or criticizing, would you call me up on it, please? If you hear me criticizing or complaining someone or against somebody when they're not here, would you please let me know? I'd like to know that. I try as best as I can. I'll tell you something. There are so many times that I've got words on my brain, and I have a choice to speak them with my mouth, and there's so many times I just have to let them go away. I just have to take those words captive and not let them go out into the air. Let me tell you something about the words that you speak. The words that you speak spiritually are powerful. How many of you know that God is all-knowing? God knows everything, but Satan doesn't. But when you speak them out into the air, he does. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God. And when you live your life without complaint, you know what you'll be like? You'll shine like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. How else do we proclaim the gospel? Well, by living lives that bring clarity to others. The Bible's clear. There's two kinds of people in the world, people that are dead and people that are alive. People that know Jesus and have eternal life, and people that don't know Jesus and are going to die and live separate from God forever because we are created in the image of God. These are the only kinds of people there are. How do we proclaim the gospel? By living lives that bring clarity to others. I remember there was a time when we were in Edmonton that we actually had a queen-size bed, and I'd learned to navigate my life around that queen-size bed very nicely. And we actually bought a king-size mattress years ago. Same bedroom, same house, you know. And every once in a while, you know, maybe 2, 3, 4 in the morning, I get up for a little journey. Do you know what I mean? Like 2, 3, 4 in the morning. Nobody does that journey. And I was used to navigating the journey around the queen-size mattress. No problem. But in the darkness of night, I remember this evening. Well, in the darkness of night, one morning, 2, 3, or 4, I just get up for my journey. And coming back to my bed to lay my head down, I nearly disconnected my uh, my leg from my left knee down as I stubbed it on our footboard. And I started yelling and hopping, and my wife got up and said, "What's the matter? What's the matter?" By living lives that bring clarity to others. I now am very well acquainted with the path around the king size mattress and the footboard. Why does that person go there? Why doesn't that person go there? Why does that person do that? Why doesn't that person do that? Why does that person invest in that? Why doesn't that person invest in that? And you know, as you live your life like that, as you endeavor as a Christian to live a life that brings clarity to others, you'll understand the words of Jesus when he said, "Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house." And I'll tell you something, that night that I think I nearly broke my toe, but that's nothing compared to the eternal, everlasting darkness for those who don't know Christ. In the same way, let your good deeds shine for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. So we live our lives without complaint. We live lives that bring clarity to others in how we spend our life. How do we proclaim the gospel? By living lives that compel others to find Jesus. That we understand that Christ has called us. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with Christ. And God implores us as Christians, those who have received Christ, to share that which is inside of us, to tell about the Jesus who has saved us. We proclaim the gospel, finally, by living conforming to God's will. The song says, "I have decided to follow Jesus. I've decided to follow Jesus. I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back." What does that mean? The cross before me. Jesus said, "Take up your cross and follow me." The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back, no turning back. And this is God's heart. You know, if you've ever wondered why the Lord Jesus hasn't returned yet, let me tell you something. He's not being slow about fulfilling his promises. God isn't being slow. Even when the Bible was written, people were wondering, why hasn't Jesus returned yet? You know, some 2,000 years later, God's not being slow about his promises, some people think. No, he's being patient for your sake. On this, our 100th year of anniversary as a Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada Fellowship, No, he's being patient for your sake. He doesn't want anyone to be destroyed, but he wants everyone to repent. We want to be conforming to God's will and understanding that whatever else we're called to do in life, we're called to help people see the light of God's love in Jesus Christ our Lord.